The sermon for this week is in the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 13, verse 1. The title of this sermon is The Parable of the Four Soils. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he saw, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciple came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parable? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, this is the focus of the first parable. To some people, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to others it is not given. And God does not simply give this knowledge, but it is implied that this gift from God is actually an indication that this individual has been saved. This fundamental principle runs all the way throughout this chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. The gift of God unto salvation is a free gift which is totally undeserved, and God decides to whom he will give this gift of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so, the second principle that we see shining through these last two verses is this. Why did the Lord Jesus speak in parable? It is to hide the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from those to whom God does not want to disclose it to. Thus, we understand how these two principles hang together. God favors a group of people whom he wants to give the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and God is displeased with the rest of the human race from whom he hides the truth of these mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But who is the Lord addressing in this chapter? Verse 2 says that great multitudes came to hear him, and so it is today. Although the Bible is written for all mankind, these parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13 are primarily for people in the church. The Lord puts us on notice. Let us now turn to this parable, which is commonly called the parable of the sower. Actually, the parable is not about the sower, but about the four soils that are being sown by the sower. Then the Lord Jesus explained this parable for his disciples in verses 18 through 23. So let us now study the four soils which represent the hearts of four groups of people. Please, drop down to verse 18 in this chapter, Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. The sower sowed good seed, for the seed is the word of the kingdom, which is the gospel unto salvation as we find it in the Bible. It is good seed, for it is the message from God to those who have a spiritual ears to hear. It is a message of deliverance from sin and Satan. No wonder then that the devil does not want anyone to hear this gospel. And for what purpose is the seed sown in the hearts of men? Obviously, the seed is sown to change man's heart, because it is a heart that is in rebellion against God. It is a heart that needs to be regenerated or to be revived from the dead. All people come into the world with a heart or a soul that is evil and dead in the sight of God. God says that we all are sinners from birth, and because our souls are corrupted by sin, we all are under the wrath of God. So God says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, we all are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And since a righteous God demands a penalty for each crime, God says in Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the death that God has in view is not a physical death, for physical death is only a shadow of the second death in the lake of fire. According to the Bible, all mankind is literally on their way to hell, and we would all get here if God will not interfere. But God, who is extremely rich in mercy, did interfere in the affairs of man. God provided the principle of substitution. Way back in Genesis 3:15, God said to Satan, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, the body of believers, and between thy seed and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will fight to regain the possession of our soul and body out of the kingdom of Satan. This battle between Christ and Satan already took place when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified almost 2,000 years ago. It was on Friday, April 3rd, in the year AD 33, that the Lord Jesus paid for the sins of those he came to save. Because we are unable to pay such a great penalty by ourselves, and since Jesus Christ is God, his saving act was not a possibility to become saved, but he indeed saved mightily. Therefore, he did not save everyone in the world, because not everyone in the world is saved. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All those whom the Father has given to Jesus to make him atone for their sins were chosen to become the bride for his Son. And that meant that God committed himself to let us hear the gospel, to let us hear the seed that was sown in our heart, and to make us believe the words of the gospel. Therefore, God says in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us now hear the other side of the story. A hard heart. Do we sense the sadness that hangs over this story? Here is a large crowd listening to the Lord Jesus, who is preaching from an offshore pulpit. It is a picture of the great spiritual distance between Christ and those who hear him. Only a fraction of this great crowd is going to understand the words he is speaking. It is a picture of the masses of people who are coming to church to hear the word of God. But the word will make an impact on only a small fraction of them. Why? It is because many who came are coming with a hard heart, an indifferent heart, a selfish heart, a heart that will only believe what they already have decided to believe. They are not open to the teaching of God's word.